So when you're singing for the gospel's sake, your goal is to exercise your spirit, your heart, and your voice to sing those words into the new ones. So that when they go home at night and lay down to go to sleep, they think, when Jesus comes, new wine is made for... This is successful gospel singing. This is why I say, if everybody's shouting all the time, it's hard for them to really have those words imprinted on their brain. So we sing it with our spirit, with the goal towards singing that into all the new ones in the meeting. You believe me. Prevailing singing, if you have prevailing singing, they're half saved already. It's half the battle. It opens people's hearts, it prepares them, and it takes you a long way. So let's practice each day. Some days I'll be here. Some days Leslie will take care of this meeting. But each day, let's practice one gospel song. And I encourage you all to write more gospel songs. We will be in a lot of gospel truth. There is a need in the Lord's recovery for gospel songs, among other kind of songs. We need a lot of songs. But one category is gospel songs. We have a wealth in the gospel, but our songs do not always reflect that. So if you are so inclined, let's do it. Okay, now this morning, I want you to open up to the gospel section of your manual. And you go past the outlines that are on the booklets, the Gospel Truth, the Bible, etc. And you come to the one that's titled College Training 1993, Fellowship Unto the Gospel, number one. Are we there? Okay, let's all read the verse in Roman numeral one together. And... Okay, now that we're all there, finally, let's read it again. And Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, I know a number of you were with us in San Diego and on other occasions when we talked about this, so I'm not going to go through this outline in detail. But I want to open the fellowship this morning with this verse and with this burden and this idea. That is, Jesus said to us, if we follow after him, he will make us fishers of men. We will be into a new occupation and a new recreation, fishing men. How many of you like sports? I think everybody, most Americans, like sports, right? The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, the excitement. Well, fishing is a sport. It's a sport. To catch men is a challenge. And challenge is the essence of any sport. It's a challenge to get that ball through the little hoop. It's a challenge to get the soccer ball into the goal, right? The essence of any sport is challenge. And here, the Lord said, follow after me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is the greatest sport with the greatest challenge, to actually be able to catch men. What a wonderful thing. What an exciting thing. What a challenging thing. Let me ask you tonight or this morning, do you really consider yourself a fisher of men? When you go out to the mall, do you see people or do you see fish? This is a test. When you sit out in your classroom, do you see threatening people that might think bad things about me or whatever if I say anything? Or do you see a bunch of fish there that need to be caught? You see, this is our test. So somewhat, I want to change your view. You're the fisherman. They're the fish. They all need to be caught, every one of them. And this is our vocation. And this is our hobby. And this is our sport. Since the Lord caught us. Now, tonight, this morning, I want you to forget about all I said last night about getting into the good land. You know, you need to believe the word and then be baptized and then have the circumcision. And then, now, this is very simple this morning. We're just trying to figure out how to catch men. This is the other side. We want to catch them. And so, let's just read through quickly Romans 2. To follow the Lord is to coordinate with Him in His desire to catch men. The triune God needs us to catch other men. He would not do it directly. This is a very peculiar thing. But the fact is, in the good land, He does everything through people. And here, in catching men, He wouldn't just do it Himself. He would use you. His calling us is not to inhabit heaven, to be merely spiritual, or to have a happy life. Christ's calling in our salvation is for us to become His fishermen. So see, the process of learning to fish or to bear fruit is the process of becoming the Lord's disciple in John 15:8. This view, the view of the purpose of our salvation, will make us desperate to catch men. This is our calling. Three, to become a fisher of men needs training. A, the Lord trained the 12 to fish for all kinds of men during His ministry. He was the model of one loving man and pouring Himself out to catch them for God's desire. See, He met each person's need and ministered to them. That was the song we just sang. Then when Jesus came, not only the wine was turned to water, but all the other needs were met. He was flexible to the changing need. He did not have only one way to speak to man, but through personal contact, He discerned each one. Some needed conviction, the woman at the well. Where is your husband? Well, I don't have a husband. That's right, you don't. You've got five, and the one you have now, you're not married to. You're just living with him. Or whatever. Some needed conviction. Others needed healing. So, do you want to be healed? He told the man sitting by the water. He said, I do, but I don't have anybody to put me in the water when the angel stirs the water. So that man didn't need convicting. He needed healing. So there were different needs. What was the Lord doing? He was fishing. He was going to catch that woman. And He was also going to catch the man. But different fish, different bait. He was into it, catching men. You read how He called the disciples. Not everyone the same way. Why? People are different. Fish are different. Okay. D, to be a successful fisherman, we need the knowledge of different kinds of fish and what bait to use with each one. It is the same in fishing for men. This requires training and experience. And the wonderful thing about being a young person in college is you got a lot of chance for experience. There's thousands of people there, all begging you to make a mistake on them. They're there for your learning. Hallelujah. Each person we meet should become a fish to us. Take the opportunity to study each person. Learn how to touch people's hearts. We have cousin fish, friend fish, and business-related fish. All need catching. Don't say he's my cousin. Say he's my cousin fish. We don't look at ourselves like this, do we? We really don't see ourselves as fish. What, me? Catch somebody? Yeah, you're the one. The Lord said, follow after me. I want to make you something. Not holy, not spiritual in this instant. Not great, but a fisher. Learn how to catch people. Oh, this is great fun. I love it. Okay, all need catching. Let's go on. F, each of us should make progress in our learning how to catch men. 4, the first step in being trained is to develop a heart for man. To catch men, we must love them and have compassion upon them. This cannot be faked. People know if we really care. Okay, I'm not stressing this point today, so we'll just go over them quickly. The problem is that we do not exercise our heart to love others. We must first repent of the self-love and preoccupation that fills our heart. This is what one thing David was talking about this morning. Next, we must begin to exercise our love to others. To love people, we must first see them in their needy situation. We don't see that. We look at the other students in the class. You don't know how needy they are. We are full of ourselves, thinking, what will they think about me? How will they react to me? Will they still like me? Me, me, me. We don't realize God is working with many of them. Some of them, their grandpa just died and it tore them apart. Some of them, their family just went through a divorce. They don't know how to handle it. They're needy people. And especially in our generation today, there is a tremendous human need. Well, we need to see that. The Samaritan looked on the sinner, on the, what was the name of the guy? Publican, laying there, that had been beaten and robbed. If you never look at him, you'll never have a heart to help him. So we need to look at people. B, then we must listen to their words. Listen to people. Listening is a skill. Some of us feel to be effective in catching men, we need to speak a lot. Actually, you don't need to speak that much. You need to learn how to make them speak. Oh, really? Well, what do you think about that? Oh, really? Well, tell me more about that. The more they speak, the more you will know them. The Bible says, out of you know all the arguments and all the points. Actually, you need to know more how to open people up by letting them speak. Then you will know what is the point, what is the need. You may know, you may not know, especially when you're young and starting. You may not always know. But anyway, every person is the same. You let them speak, they will feel you are a wonderful person. You're interested in them, they're already open to you. It's human nature. So we need to learn, and sometimes anxious to speak, we just restrain our speaking a little bit and learn to listen. Okay, see, the more we exercise in this way, the more we will be touched. I did this for the full-time trainees. I think it's also good for the college students. I said, try to weep with them or laugh with them when you're talking to somebody. Identify with them. If you could weep with somebody weeping, I'm pretty sure they would be saved. If they laugh, don't say, ah, you're sanctified to laugh. Learn to be one with people in a certain way. It doesn't mean you have to go all the way with them, but learn to laugh and weep, to be touched by them. See, a basic problem is that it is very hard for us to get out of ourselves to really enter into another person's situation. First, try to get into another person's shoes. Then you can get into their heart. This is why I say, in a gospel meeting, consider the new ones. For us to shout is good for us. We like to release our spirit. But is it good for them? Did you think from their point of view, how they feel? Or you're just concerned about what releases you? You see, this is a gospel preacher. This is a fisherman. You have to think like the fish thinks. When they come, do you share a hymnal with them? Some of us don't even do that. They're singing, we see people come in, they sit in the back. There's nobody with them. They don't have a hymnal. We just kind of look at them. What is this? You see? If we have a heart to fish for men, when we see somebody new come in, sit in the back, right away, we'll get up to go back and sit with them. Forget about you're sitting on the front row, what you're sharing that morning. Anyway, there is a new fish in the meeting. How would they feel? How would you feel? You came in, sat down, nobody came to help you. Then once you sit with them, you have to explain, you know, our meetings are different from almost every other kind of Christian meeting. There's no bulletin to give people the order of events. Everything is very spontaneous. People are shouting, reading, praising, doing things. You think about it. If you're new there, how do you know what's going on? We just kind of, we have the sink or swim gospel method. We just throw them in. Either they sink or they swim. If they swim, praise the Lord, we got a new one. So you need to sit down with them and share your hymn book, then explain to them. After they're done with the singing, there's this mysterious thing called pray singing, where everybody starts declaring different lines of the hymns. Well, they have no idea what you're doing. You see my point? So you lean over and you tell them, well, after we finish singing the hymn, we have found it enriches our singing. If we go back and repeat some of the lines, it's a kind of prayer to the Lord and a kind of a help to us to digest what the song is about. You should try it. It's really enjoyable. In fact, let's try it together on this line. Just that little word of explanation changes the whole thing. But we don't think like that. We don't think what they're thinking. And so they walk out saying, wow, that was a weird one. People jumping up, shouting, doing things, and then at one point some brothers go up and break the bread and they pass it around and nobody explains to anybody what the bread is, what the cup is. If there are new ones in the meeting, particularly a number of new ones, why couldn't one of you stand up before the bread is broken? Just read the verses in Matthew with the little footnote there. For who? For the sake of the new ones. Say, well, maybe the elders should do that. But the elders should do that. But we haven't got them trained yet. We elders are not that trained yet. So sometimes the young people need to help the elders. Why? Because you're burdened for the new ones there. You see, this is all in fishing for men. If you don't have this kind of heart, there won't be new people. If we have this kind of heart, people will come. Okay, I say exercise in every situation to look for the new ones and consider how they feel. We talked about that. 5, there are 2 ways to fish for men in the New Testament, by hook and by net. To fish by hook is an individual matter. To fish by net is a corporate matter. The Lord trained his disciples in both kinds of fishing. A crucial point in either method is to be in close coordination with the Lord. He told Peter to go and cast in a hook and to take up the first fish. Quite a word. And then he also told the disciples several times to cast their net on the other side of the boat. And as I told you, it wasn't that the fish were just hanging out on one side of the boat and it never occurred to the disciples to put their net over there. They were all professional fishermen. The point was, when you coordinate with him, you'll catch the fish. Okay, then both show the need for cooperating with the Lord in fishing. D. The Bible says no man can come to Christ unless the Father draws him. This is a real mystery. Yet it also commands us to fish. So what's happening? Is the Father drawing or are we fishing? You know, I told you last night, in the good land, the Lord has dealt with all the enemies. They're defeated foes. But they're not dealt with until we deal with them. It's a very mysterious thing. They are all defeated, but not until we defeat them. This is the principle of incarnation. This is Christ in the good land. So these two are not contradictory, but the point is the coordination of the two. The fish do not jump into the boat. They have to be caught. The bee does not deliver the honey to your tongue. You got to go get it. On the other hand, unless we follow the Lord's word to cast our net on the other side, we catch nothing. Then page 3. To fish with a net means to fish with the builded-up church life. The second pair of disciples that the Lord called were mending their nets. This shows us that to fish without a net requires that it be strong and without fish with a net requires that it be strong and without tears. Before we can hold new fish, the net needs mending. What does this mean? For the net to be mended requires the saints to be perfected in oneness and to be built up. In the Gospels, the Lord worked to perfect the disciples into oneness. After his resurrection, the Lord lived in the disciples and became the factor of their oneness. The 120 were able to pray together in one accord for 10 days. This prayer formed them into a strong net, which was able to bring in about 3,000 on Pentecost. This one accord was transmitted to the 3,000. Then the 3,000 continued in one accord. and in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and prayers, in meetings, in the temples, and from house to house. They ate together with exaltation, simplicity of heart. They even shared their material wealth. This oneness became a net to, I should say hold, not old, to hold tens of thousands of believers in Jerusalem. So a net needs oneness, and the church, this involves not only the young people, it involves the whole church. It's not a simple thing, because even our fishing needs the holding of the church. Okay. Then, in the chapter on fruit-bearing, John 15, the Lord commanded us to love one another. This commandment was to provide the atmosphere for fruit-bearing love. To have remaining fruit, there must be love among the saints. This love is just the expression of oneness. Love and oneness among the saints are the expression of our loving triune God in mankind. People cannot resist this expression of love. If we love one another, people will come. Therefore, the proper practice of vital groups is vital to the gospel. Without such groups to put their corporate arms around new ones, they could never be held for the church life. So this is kind of an introduction. We need this. Okay. Now, what we want to do in these sessions is to equip you with different kinds of bait. How to put out the bait to catch people, and to have some bait in your tackle box. So we are going to spend these days, this session, and these days, to help you to have bait in your tackle box. What is bait? Bait is something that has the hook in it, but it looks very interesting, attractive to eat. So we started a year ago to put out a number of tracts. We found out that people were interested in prophecy, so I showed you there on the back. We put out a series of six tracts on prophecy. America expects Christ. Over one half of all Americans believe Christ will return in the next millennium. Then Christ is coming. It's more about Christ coming. Then beware of Antichrist. This was the biggest drawer on all the campuses. When that 666 was out there, people flooded into that room. Beware of Antichrist. Then the New World Order, the land of Antichrist. Then decision time, tribulation or rapture. And then finally, the kingdom of God, a mystery and a reality. And everyone, we put up posters, we had a seminar. What is all this? This is bait. These are just bait. People are interested in this kind of thing. They're interested. When I found out from the Time survey that over half of all Americans surveyed felt that Christ would return in the next millennium, I said, hey, we got to talk about it. It's what's interesting to people. So bait is what they like. Bait is what they're interested in. And we need, as fishers of men, to be ready to talk about things. To be ready to talk to them. To have some gospel conversations. To have some times to get into some opening discussions according to their interest, according to their situation. Not just according to what we want to talk about, you see. So we had seminars with this. We had people come. We gave messages. But the whole thing is just bait. The only thing it's good for is to get people open and to contact them, to have further discussion, and to have further contact, eventually to catch them, you see. So after the first semester, then we found out that... We found out that also somewhat they're interested in science, although it varies, but the whole thing with God and science was pretty interesting. So we got into that, the dilemma of modern man. Then we got the earth, an accident or by design. Again, it's just bait to get people interested. And then the earth's origin, to talk about the origin of the earth. Then we have Darwin challenged, to challenge people on Darwin. Then evolution examined. And finally, God's desire for the earth. So another series of six tracts that we used to talk to people about science, the Bible, God, again, and you put up the posters and you have the seminars. That's one way to do it. Anyway, it gets people interested, and it's something they like to talk about. It's bait, that's all. And we had a thing at UCI that we did and put together a little thing on God and science. So these are available, and if any place would like to use them or whatever, there's a letter on the back table titled Southern California Campus Work. If you want any of that material, you don't need to come to me and ask how can we get it. The letter explains how you can get it. You just take a copy of the letter, and you can get copies either individual or on disc or whatever way. But the point is, it's just bait to use. And it's part of fishing for men. Is it the all-inclusive answer to the gospel? No. It's just one kind of bait. Only certain people will respond. You talk about God and science. Only certain kind of people. Some people could care less. You know, I have God and science. I don't understand either one, you know. Just forget about it. That's fine. No bait is universal, as far as I know. There is no universal bait for fish. They have different tastes. So in our catching of fish, you have to try a lot of different things, and you have to learn to speak about different things. Okay, so this is what we did. Then, to start out the work in Russia, Brother Lee and the brothers put together six messages that we gave in the gospel meetings in Moscow and St. Petersburg over the last couple of years. And they were on six subjects. The Bible, number one. Two, there is God. Number three, Christ is God. Number four, Christ's redemption and salvation. Five, Christ is spirit and life. And six, the meaning of human life. Not the mystery, although the outline says mystery, but the booklet is the meaning of human life, and it's different. It's not just an expansion of the mystery of human life. There's more material there, and it's longer. Okay? So we felt now, since these are out, they're all excellent messages, excellent gospel messages, and we say we had, it says over 7,000 people to the knowledge of God and Christian salvation, but the 7,000 have to be that has to be a baptism number. That's not a believing number, because the believing number, we're getting almost 1,000 a night. Believing, and it went on for weeks and weeks. And probably some of you have seen the video, but unless you've been there in person, you can't believe to see such a thing. To have a theater full of over 1,000 people, you speak on the Bible, you ask everybody who wants to pray, only those who want to pray, only those who want to receive the Lord, stand up, and virtually the whole place stands up. Everybody. And everybody wants to pray, and we got usually around 20%+ to be baptized. How many of you have seen videos of that? Okay. So, but you need to go there. I hope you could all go there sometime to see it in person, because it's not the same just to see it on video. So these are the messages from there. Our consideration was they're very basic gospel messages, and they're things that are useful on the college campus for the gospel. Again, for bait. For something to talk to people about, okay? The Bible. It's a question. If people open to the Bible, they will be saved. You see? That's needed. If you can open people to begin being interested in the Bible, studying the Bible, they will be infused and probably be saved. Then number two, there is God. It's a hot question. With college students, is there a God or isn't there a God? I'm an agnostic. I'm an atheist. I'm a this. I'm a Buddha. I'm a Buddhist. Whatever. I'm a Muslim. Is there a God? So the second one, there is God, is very good. It goes more along the God and science kind of line to demonstrate to people, not only from the Bible, but from the creation, from the universe, from other things, that there is God. If you get people to talk about this, they're on their way to being saved. See? Then Christ is God. Also a very fundamental, basic point in the gospel, to talk about Christ being God. We need this. Then what? Then Christ's redemption and salvation. Also a very basic point in the gospel. Then Christ is spirit and life. To experience him, to enjoy him, this is also quite a basic point. Then the meaning of human life should be almost everybody in their college years is thinking about the meaning of human life. Well, maybe some don't, but at least many should. So, saints, what we're burdened about and considering is this. These are very basic issues, and we can use them as gospel bait. So what do we want to do in these days? Okay, in these sessions, and we're going to have to start tomorrow now, I can see that, to really get into it. In these sessions, what we want to do is help you to get into using each of these tracks as bait. There's six of them, and the other two will be here later on in the week. They're little booklets like this size. They cost a quarter. This is why I showed you this one. We tried putting it on a kind of track size handout. Reason why? How much does this cost? 6 cents, right? This is 6 cents. This is a quarter. You see? So when you hand things out on campus, it all depends on how rich you are. If you got a rich daddy, then you stand on campus and hand out quarters. If your daddy's a little poorer, then you stand on campus and hand out nickels. Same thing. The Bible. Why? Okay, something to get people interested. And when you put out the bait, the people who are interested will respond. You put it in Minnesota, you put a hook down with a worm on it, you won't catch a pike, a northern pike. Neither will you catch a crappie. You catch a sunfish. Sunfish respond to minnows. If you put to worms. They like worms. Sunfish like worms. You put a minnow on there, you'll catch a crappie. Crappies like minnows. So you put something out about the Bible. Some people will respond. You believe me. It's one aspect of the gospel truth that people will respond to. Will everybody respond? No. We couldn't handle it if they did. Eventually, in our lectures at Cal State Fullerton, we were getting some come. You can only talk to five. Then there's some benefit for them to come and hear something. Yeah, there would be some benefit. But as far as catching them, you don't have the way. So don't worry about the number. Put out the bait. Okay. And so our goal in these sessions together is to get us into the bait. This one on the Bible, for example. Okay, how many of you have read this? Oh, good, some have. Just listen to the opening page. The Bible stands above all other books in the world. It is a unique book. The 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, said once that, quote, "The Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." Just that one quote by itself is a big worm to hang out there. You know what I mean? So, continuing on, that's the end of the quote. "It is the world's most widely read book and has been translated into over 1,000 languages, more than any other book in the world. Countless people have turned to the Bible for comfort, hope, and guidance during times of trouble and uncertainty. The word Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, which means the book. This means that the Bible stands as the unique book among all other books in the world. It is the highest among all the classical writings in the West and the East." Then, now we come to another quote. The famous French writer Victor Hugo. How many know Victor Hugo, the famous French writer? What did he write? What is famous? Okay. Dan and I were talking at breakfast this morning whether there's anybody west of the East Coast that knows who Victor Hugo is. It's encouraging that some of you do. The famous writer Victor Hugo once said, "England has two books, the Bible and Shakespeare. England made Shakespeare, but the Bible made England." Tremendous quote. It's a little worm. to hang out. Okay, so the book is full of this kind of thing. Really, every one is packed full. Then, okay, the Bible being the highest among all the classical writings. Then it goes, the Bible, looking through it on page 2, the Bible being highest in its record. Okay, it tells about an all-powerful creator, the origins of man. And, you know, some people are going to argue with you about the origins of man. But don't argue. The ones that want to argue about the origins of man, they're not biting on this one. This is not a book on science and the Bible. This is a book just generally on the Bible. Okay, so then you go on, the faithfulness which it records human history, talks about human history, and then talks about prophecies. Then it goes, the Bible being the highest in its wisdom and profoundness. And talks about how the belief in God, the true God, that covers all kinds of knowledge, theology, humanity, astronomy, geology, science, etc. Okay, then the highest in its ethics and morality. Talks about righteousness. Speaks about faithfulness. Talks about the family, the husbands and wives. Etc. Talks about the marital relationships, the family relationships. So all of these things are in the Bible. So what are we going to do? Well, our goal is this. Okay, we'll go on. The Bible being the highest in its influence. And it says, okay, I like this one now. The last and most important factor in ranking the Bible as the most distinctive book is its influence upon men. Although the Bible is a great treasure as far as its literary, philosophical, and historical contributions to humanity are concerned, the greatest value of the book lies in its great influence upon individuals. Through its pages, man is exposed concerning his true condition before God. The Word of God is like a two-edged sword to pierce through the reasonings and natural excuses of man and convicts him of his sins before God. Then, the story again. St. Augustine was an undisciplined and licentious young man in his youth, but his mother prayed for him while he was growing up. After living a wanton life for many years, one day at the age of 31, he read the Bible under a fig tree and came to the portion that says, "Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in fornication and licentiousness, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." These words convicted him of his sins, and he repented to the Lord and became a great servant of Christ. Nice little story. Later on it talks about Napoleon and this and that. So, okay, then it goes on to talk about the Bible being the holy word of God, the canon of the Bible, the main subjects of the Bible. Now, what do you do with a book like this? Okay? What can we do with a book like this? This is very good for bait. But it has to get into you, at least a little bit. So, not today because we don't have enough time, but what we'll do starting tomorrow, we'll have this hour, and it should start, we have to tell the starting Monday. Yeah, we don't do it tomorrow because tomorrow is Lord's Day. We'll all be here. Starting Monday, we start at 10:30. Then we have a half an hour to have fellowship, some kind of word concerning the carrying out of the thing. Then we spend a half an hour to read it together in small groups. Then we spend another half an hour to talk about it with one another, to speak about it with one another. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, we're going to experiment to see whether in a half an hour you could read the whole book or not. Maybe not, so then we just divide it up. Maybe read half the book. But what I would like is this. What I think would be useful is at least, and that one of the reasons we gave you the outlines, at least become familiar with the sections. The Bible is being the highest among all the classical writings. This is one of the main points. The Bible being the highest in its record. Okay, so then that's one of the main points. The Bible being the highest in its wisdom and profoundness. That's the second point. The Bible being the highest in its ethics and morality. That's the third point. Then the fourth, the Bible being the highest in its influence. You see? Just try and remember those points. Let us try and commit those points to memory. And the rest of it, you read. And you look to the Lord for something there that touches you, something that is alive to you. You get my point? Some kind of either point or illustration or whatever. Don't try to memorize the whole outline, you know, that under, okay, let me find a section here, under the Bible. Okay, then you come to highest in its ethics and morality. Don't try and remember in love and righteousness and holiness and faithfulness and sincerity and humility and filial piety and marriage relationships and child rearing. Because if you talk to somebody, if you tell them, you know, the Bible is the highest in ethics, in its ethics and morality, and then you start telling them in love and righteousness and holiness and faithfulness and sincerity, it's too much. And it's too mechanical. In humility and filial piety, marriage relationship, child rearing. Just remember, it's the highest in ethics and morality. And maybe the part about marriage relationships and child rearing touches you. So you just remember that and use it. So there's many ways to use it. But one way, suppose you sit down with somebody and you're talking to them, your sister, and you're talking to one of your friends, and you say, you know, when you get married, are you going to have kids? Yeah, I think we are. Have you thought about how you're going to raise them? How you're going to train them? You know, you have to teach them something. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the Bible is the highest in its teaching on morality and family relationships and children. You know, I think you'd really be interested in the Bible. You see? So you don't have to be able to recite the whole list. And it won't be that effective if you can just memorize and regurgitate the whole list. What I'm trying to do is get this into you and make it alive on some of the points. You can always go back to the booklet and read it. All you need is just something to tease people, to get their appetite stirred up a little bit so that they're interested in more. Just something. Does it sound right or not? Does it sound like something we can do? I think with all of them, we can remember something. Then, how to use the book? Well, there's many ways. I told you, you know, we're going to put out, at least we'll either put out the whole thing or a part of it in this kind of form. One way is you just stand out on campus, you hand them out by the thousands, and you have a seminar at noon. That's one way to do it. But I'll tell you now that that is not probably the best way. Even if you have a seminar, the people that come generally are the people that you invite, personally. Some come, depending upon the topic, some might just come by chance. And we have some, and even we have some that have been are almost in the church life now that just came because they saw the poster or they got handed something and wanted to come. But generally, it's more effective by personal contact. So you can do that way. You can do the kind of mass distribution and have a meeting. Or you could give the book to somebody or the sheet to somebody and just tell them, you know, I'm giving this out to some of my friends. I would like you to read it and tell me what you think about it. Let's get back together next week after class and talk about it. You see? Use it in that way. Either give them the whole book or give them the sheet that it comes off of. Say, I really enjoyed this. How about you read it and tell me what you think about it? This is another way. How about that? I think we could do that. Then when you come back together, all you need, you don't need to be versed on everything in the whole book. And I mean, there's a lot of material in every one of these. It's loaded. But you have something that touches you, something that you enjoy. Just go and talk to them. And let them say something. You say something. The more they say, the better. Remember, you're fishing for them. They will open their heart and they will tell you many things from their opening you will see. Don't say, oh, what if they don't agree with something? Well, if they don't agree, very good. It's better than no response. People that have a strong response against it, you have a much better chance than people who say, oh, well, it was okay. You know, This is like the Lord, be cold or hot or just get out of my mouth. That's what he said. So if they're cold or they're hot, it's all very good. Okay, so this is another way. Another way is you live in a dorm or an apartment, you just have a little discussion group. Put up a little sign or invite some people. Thursday night, we're having a discussion group on the Bible. And we'd like to give you this. You can read it. And this is what we're going to be talking about. And you pass out a half a dozen and invite them all to come to your room or whatever, or your apartment. And we're having a little discussion group on the Bible. Try it. It will work. It will do something. Then when you come together, try, you read through some. You have to do a little preparation in that case. You have to do some preparation to present something or to have some way to get through it, to read some parts, and then open up some discussion. Saints, this is what we're burdened for. Don't be afraid. Get out there with the fish. Open up some gospel discussions on many different subjects, and people will be infused. And people will be gained in the long run. Doesn't mean the first time they read it, they're going to be captured. No. But it's the beginning. It's a sowing. Remember, this is the good land. You plant it in the spring. It grows up in the fall. You harvest it in the fall. You may not eat it till the next winter. It takes some time. But we need to be planting all the time. We need to be sowing all the time. If we sow, we will reap. And these are great seed. These are great seed. You may have a big meeting. Sometimes you might want to have a big meeting on the Bible, a Friday night meeting. Then you sing some of your songs, the gospel songs, and somebody gives a little word on the Bible or something. There are many ways. Invent ways. Think about ways to use it. Brother Lee, the other night with the elders, he was nearly begging. He was begging the elders. Spend 3 hours a week to contact new people. Do anything. He said, go stand outside the supermarket and hand out things to people. He said, if you do that 3 hours a week for 52 weeks, he said, I guarantee you, you'll catch somebody. Just become known as the Saturday passer-outer at Alpha Beta. You're passing things out. I did this. We all did. We did this for years. The University of Michigan, the University of Minnesota, Cal State LA, all the places around here. Just put it in people's hands. Meet the people. Put out the paper. It will reap. UCLA, they passed out a lot of brochures. They got some good response, right? They got some good response from people. The bait works, okay? So, but we need to have some of it in us. Okay, another way is by personal contact. You just use this book. And it's not, listen, it's not the mystery of human life. When I say use it, I don't sit down and try and read through all 17 pages with somebody. You won't make it. And neither is it intended to use in that way. But sit down with somebody on the lawn or at school or wherever, whether you know them, you don't know them. Say, did you ever think about the Bible? What do you think about the Bible? You know, I think, you know, then they don't say much. You say, well, I think the Bible, you know, is a wonderful book. You know what really touches me about it is the way it affects people's lives. I read the newspaper. I read the classical writings. I read Shakespeare. Didn't change my life. But when I read the Bible, it really changed my life. And it changed other people's lives. And you know what Napoleon said? He said, I can get men to follow me. I can inspire men to follow me, even to die for me. But I have to speak to him face to face. But he said, Jesus Christ has spoken to men for 18 centuries through his written word, and people are ready to die for him. What is that? It's a little, just a little, a little gem, you know? If that's all you remember out of the whole book, it's good. You know what I mean? So this is what I mean. We're going to fill your tackle box. This week, we're going to at least put some more things in it for the sake of the gospel, on the Bible, on there is God, on the other subjects, Christ is God, etc. Don't worry about being able to remember all the points. try and get some of the main points and try and be touched by some of the things that touch you. Always with the gospel, what touches you is the right thing to say. Because it's real to you. It's subjective to you. Don't just talk doctrine. Talk what's real to you. People know whether you're just speaking doctrine or you're speaking what's real. So what we will do from Monday on, we'll come together at this time for a half an hour, maybe less. If we don't have that much to say, then we'll just put you into groups. Then you come together in the groups and you read. Read to get the main points, the main outline points, the Bible. Well, what are the points under the Bible? Let's see. Okay, the Bible being the highest among all the classical writings. Highest in what way? Highest in record. Highest in its wisdom and profoundness. Highest in ethics and morality. Highest in its influence on people. The other points you can if you want, but that's enough right there. You just remember that. And then a few things that touch you, a few of the quotes. Abraham Lincoln. Just use Abraham Lincoln. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, you know, it doesn't take that long to get familiar, and you don't have to have it letter perfect every time you say it. Just say, did you know Abraham Lincoln said that the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man? Just use it with people, you see. You say, well, okay, well, not everybody will believe. But we owe it to our generation to speak the truth. And this is a tremendous way to speak. Just learn to keep sowing, keep speaking. So what we'll do, you read for half an hour, then you come back together. And I want you to practice with one another. Try it out. This is the time. Don't be bashful, don't be shy. This is the time now to practice speaking to one another. A few of you pretend like you're the new ones and just try it out. Say, you know what I enjoyed about the Bible? Excuse me, you know, have you ever considered about the Bible, what the Bible is?
Well, it's a bunch of old stories written by, you know.
Okay, well, good. Well, you know, my appreciation of the Bible, don't ever fight. Don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. Say, well, my appreciation of the Bible is as the highest of all written books. It is the book. And it's highest in the morality that it teaches. You know? So there's many ways, you see. Practice with one another. Practice speaking. Believe me, it will reap fruit. It will bear fruit. Okay, so I think that's enough for today. We're going to have lunch now. But if you have some time, read through some of the books. You can read ahead of time. That will save time. Become familiar with the bait. Spend the time that you can to become familiar. Okay, any questions or comments before we stop? Okay, then let's be dismissed for lunch.